Today is the most auspicious Tirubhav Mahotsav Tithi. Srila Raghunandan Thakur, eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, who has also joined his eternal Leela. These two personalities, of course, they were Mahapurushas. They were extraordinary, pure devotees of the Lord. And one of them was Navadut, who had exhibited eccentric, unusual behavior. But both of them had something in common. They had pure love for Gaur Nitai. And they had pure love for Radha and Krishna. And in their expression of their love toward the Lord, they took on the worship of deities. And in the worship of deities, in the worship of the Archamurti, they displayed the extent of the realization. They displayed the purity of their vision, how they could see that my Thakurji, my Ishtadev, my Krishna Balaram, my Gaur Nitai, my Radhasham Sundar, my Gopal, they are completely the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no difference. It's not that this is some deity, but Krishna's up there in the spiritual world. No, they had this idea. So there's very extraordinary pastimes. So we want to establish a foundation, a philosophy, to understand the leelas that were displayed by these great pure devotees of the Lord, Sri Raghunandan Thakur and Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj. In 11th canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, verse 47, there's a discussion by the nine yogendras and Maharaj Nimi. In that discussion, they explain what are the different types of Vaishnavas. There's Kanishtadikari, Madhyamadikari, Uttamadikari. So in this purport of text 47 in chapter 2, there's a very elaborate purport. The verse reads like this. Archayam eva haraye pujam yashare yehate natad bhakteshu chaneshu sabhakta prakrita smritaha. Translation. A devotee who faithfully engages in the worship of the Archamurti, the deity in the temple, but does not behave properly toward other devotees or people in general, is called a Prakriti Bhakta. Prakriti Bhakta means Prakriti, means a materialistic devotee. And he's considered to be in the lowest position. So this is one of the attributes or definitions of a Kanishta Adhikari. No Nishta, Kanishta. No steadiness, no higher realization. But he worships a deity in the temple. Now in the purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who incidentally was a very close friend of Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, in his tika to this verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there are five incarnations of the Lord. Five different incarnations of the Lord. And they are all exactly equal. They are all completely absolute and transcendental. The first incarnation, whom we are all living with, knowingly or unknowingly, is Antaryami, the super soul. This is the dearest and nearest form of the Lord to all of us. The Lord in the heart, the Chaitya Guru. Antaryami, one who's gone inside. Yato Yami, Tato, Nishringho, wherever I go, here or there. Yami, he's gone inside, Antaryami. So there's a super soul. And then the next incarnation is the Archamurti. When a super soul comes out of one's heart because of one's affection for worshipping the Lord, the super soul appears as Archamurti, the deity form of the Lord. So the first, nearest and dearest form of the Lord is the Antaryami, super soul. And then there is the Archavigraha, Archamurti. Then next, there is Vaibhav Prakash, the pastime incarnations of the Lord. There's so many pastime incarnations, Nisringadai, Prahad, etc. And then above that, there's Chaturvyuha. This is a quadruple expansion of the Lord. Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, expanded from Balaram. And then above that, there is Paratattva, Parakashta, the Supreme, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna. So in a very wonderful way, these incarnations of the Lord manifest before the eyes of a devotee according to his adhikar. according to the purity of his heart. He may realize super soul or understand that the Archamurti is Krishna, but ultimately, as is explained very wonderfully in his purport, which we'll read, one will realize that my deity of Krishna, my Archamurti, is fully the Parakasta. He's fully the Paratattva. The Supreme Person is here. My beloved Lord is here accepting my worship. And from the life stories of Raghunandan Thakur and Vamshidas Babaji, you can understand how they realized that my deity is fully Krishna. There's no difference. So in this purport, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, a Kanishta Adhikari, a beginning devotee, should seriously engage in regulated worship of the deity. The deity, Archamurti, is a particular incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna presents himself before his devotee in five different forms, namely his original form, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, or Para. Para means transcendental, Paratattva. And he presents himself as his Chaturvyuha, this quadruple expansion. And he presents himself as the pastime incarnations, Vaibhav, Antaryami, and Archa. Within the deity form is the Supersoul, who in turn is included within the Lord's pastime forms, Vaibhav. The Supreme Lord's Vaibhav Prakash is an emanation from the Chaturvyuha. And the Chaturvyuha, or the four forms of the Lord, are expansions of the Lord situated within Vasudeva, who himself is situated within the Swayam Prakash Tattva, or the Paratattva. The Swayam Prakash consists of expansions of the ultimate Swayam Rup Tattva, the original form of Krishna within Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual sky. Actually, this is why disciples can't understand when they were in the early days. They said, Prabhupada, is Krishna in the heart? Of course, everyone knows that there's actually the Narayan in the heart. The four Chaturbhuj Narayan is in the Antaryami. So they asked, because they're new devotees, they said, Prabhupada, is Krishna in the heart? And they're thinking Krishna, Vamsidhari, Murlidhar, playing the flute. Prabhupada said, yes, Krishna's in the heart. Well, if Krishna's in the heart, is Radharani there too? Yes, Radharani must be there. The Shama's there. So Radha and Krishna are there. So they're always in Vrindavan. So does that mean that Vrindavan is in your heart also? Yes. So this, Prabhupada's telling us 25 years ago, how Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan are in the heart. Just as when Lord Chaitanya was traveling and he was tricked by Advaita to go to Shantipur instead of Vrindavan. And he said, Mora Mana Vrindavan Dham. Your mind is Vrindavan. Because you're always thinking of Radha and Krishna and their intimate loving service. So Mora Mana Habe Vrindavan Dham. You've gone to Vrindavan by always thinking of them in your heart and in your mind. So Prabhupada, in this very simple way, he's actually explaining this very same philosophy. Because as one advances, he will see within his heart the Chaturvyuha. He'll see the super soul. Then he'll realize that the deity form is also the super soul. And he'll see the Vaibhav Prakash. As the six Goswamis, they would speak to the deities. And the deities would perform pastimes with them. And they would walk across India and so many things. There's no limit. The supreme form of the Lord is the Archamurti, is fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Prabhupada said, in your heart is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, someone might say, wait a minute. I thought there was Narayan there. This Chaturbhuj, how is this Prabhupada? What is his philosophy? No, he's understanding his Gurudev's teachings, Bhaktisiddhanta here. That within the Antaryami, also Swayam Prakash is there. They're all contained. And as one becomes purified, he sees the Lord everywhere. Because everywhere means the super soul. Everything is sustained and suspended on the energy of the super soul. Nothing exists without the Antaryami. So within us is the super soul, and outside of us is the super soul. And every atom is a super soul. And we're sitting on a super soul, we're breathing super soul. But we haven't realized that yet. But in pure devotion, that super soul becomes your Ishtadev, your worshipful Lord. This hierarchy of expansions of the Supreme Lord in the spiritual sky is realized even within the material world in terms of one's eagerness to render service to the Lord. Utsaha, nishchayatayat. Eagerness. If one is very eager to serve the Lord will come out of his heart. Just like Hanuman was challenged. Oh, monkey, what can you know about the Lord? How can you say you love the Lord and he's very near to you and dear to you? You're a monkey. How can you say you're always thinking of the Lord? He said, no, you say that. But my Ram is encaged within the core of my heart. I have enthroned him there. Sita and Ram are sitting in my heart. I am always thinking of them. And I'm always worshiping them in love and devotion. Oh, really? Yes, you want to see? So he ripped open his chest. So the Atma and the Paramatma are floating on the airs of the heart. So one would think, possibly, if one had the Adhikara, when Hanuman opened his chest, someone would see Chaturbhuj Narayan. But they didn't. This challenger to Hanuman's bhakti, Dasya Bhakti, Hanuman, Dasya Bhakti, they saw Sita and Ram in his heart, enshrined in the lotus of his heart. So this is another proof. So he's saying, this hierarchy, according to one's eagerness to render service to the Lord, a beginner in the lowest stage of devotional service should try to dedicate all his activities to the satisfaction of the Lord and cultivate the worship of Krishna in the temple. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that all the five incarnations of the Lord, the Paratattva, the Chaturbhuha, the Vaibhav Prakash, and the Antaryami, and they descend into this material world, and they enter into the deity form. So within the deity is Chaturvyuha, within everything, and Swayambhava, everything. And the deity exhibits the function of the supersoul by accompanying the daily life of the Vaishnava. So when a devotee becomes attached to the service of the Lord in the temple, that is Kanishtha. And as his attachment increases, he begins to see his worshipful deity wherever he goes. He's remembering the deity, he's buying flowers, he's shopping, and he starts to see his deity. Then he gradually rises up to the Madhyam platform to see the Lord not only in the temple, but outside the temple. Oh, just see, my Lord, my Ishadev, my deity has come out of the temple. My Prabhupada used to say, you can't see Radha Shama Sundar in Loy Bazaar. But some people can, as they advance to the Madhyam platform, you begin to see your Thakurji, your worshipful Lord, wherever you go, Loy Bazaar or Heli Deli or wherever. So, as one advances, one begins to realize, this is his purport. As one comes to the Madhyam Adhikari platform, one is able to understand the expansions of the Supreme Lord. Whereas the Kanishtha's understanding is limited to the deity. Nonetheless, Krishna is so kind that to encourage even the lowest class of Vaishnavas, he condenses all of his various forms into the deity, so that by worshipping the deity, the Kanishtha Adhikari is worshipping all the forms of the Lord. As a devotee makes advancement, he can understand these forms as they appear in their own way within this world and in the spiritual sky. Very deep and profound sentence. As one advances, he will realize that my Lord is everywhere, and he will see the Lord here, he will see the Lord in the spiritual world. This is the vision of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. This is the vision of Raghunandan Thakur. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very nicely glorifies Raghunandan Thakur during a conversation that he had with his father, Mukunda Das. Mukunda Das and Narahari and Raghunandan Thakur, they were all residents of a wonderful village known as Srikanda in Bengal. And then these Vaishnavas, the Kanda Vaishnavas, the Kandavasis, are very famous in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So, in that discussion, we're going to tell the after effect of an incredible pastime, then we're going to tell the pastime. But in that discussion, Lord Chaitanya He asked some questions to Mukunda Das, who is the father of Raghunandan Thakur. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Sri Krishna's Kaviraj Ki Jai. This is chapter 15 of Madhya Lila, text 112. Kandera Mukunda Dasa Sri Raghunandan Sri Narahari A Mukyatina Jan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then turned his attention to three persons, Mukunda Das, Raghunandan, and Sri Hari, who are inhabitants of a place called Shikanda. Mukunda Dasera Puche Sachira Nandandan Tume Pita Putra Tomar Sri Raghunandan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda, you are the father and your son Raghunandan. Your son is Raghunandan. Is that true? Kiba Raghunandan Pita Tume Taryatanaya Nishchaya Karayakaha Yoka Shamshaya. Or is Raghunandan your father, whereas you are his son? Please let me know so that my doubts will go away. And Mukunda said, my son, Raghunandan, is actually my father, and I am his son. This is my decision. All of us have attained devotion to Krishna because of my son, Raghunandan. Therefore, in my mind, he is my father. Hearing this proper decision of Mukunda Das, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes, it is correct. One who awakens devotion to Krishna is certainly a spiritual master. Mahaprabhu became very happy just to speak of the glories of his devotees. Indeed, when he spoke of their glories, it was as if he had five faces. Then he talks about the pure love of Mukunda Das. Then he goes back to Raghunandan. Raghunandan is constantly engaged in serving the temple of Lord Krishna. Besides, the entrance of the temple is a lake, and on its banks is a kadamba tree, which daily delivers two flowers to be used for Krishna's service. Then he spoke to these three devotees, giving them different services. Mukunda, Mahaprabhu said, Mukunda, your duty is to earn both material and spiritual wealth. Because Mukunda Das, he was a physician serving in the Muslim government, although he's a Hindu. He was a royal physician. So he was earning income. And with the income he was using for the service of the Lord, his Thakur, and the service of the Vaishnavas. And a small percentage for maintaining his family. So Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you continue to earn material wealth, but also you earn your spiritual wealth. Then he gave another service to Narahari. Narahari, I want you to stay here with my devotees. And then he told Raghunandan, today is his Tirubhav. Raghunandan, you should always engage in Lord Krishna's service. He has no other intention. He said, Raghunandan's duty is to always serve the Lord. He has no other intention or no other activity than the service of the Lord. So Raghunandan, when he was a boy, his father had to go away on some business, some doctor business. So he asked his young son, who had just recently received Diksha, Upanaya, his Brahmin thread. He asked his son if he could do the noon offering, the Raj Bhog, to the Lord. So he said, well, how do I do it? He said, your mother will prepare the bhog, and you take in to the Thakurji, and you ring the bell, and you say, Thakurji, you please eat. Please eat. And you offer some prayers. You make sure, Raghunandan, you make sure that Thakurji eats, that Gopinath, their deity was Gopinath. Make sure that Gopinath eats. Okay, Father. So his mother cooked nice Rajbhog offering, puris, sabji, ladu, rice, dal, everything. And Raghunandan, he went in the altar. His first time, his very first offering to the Lord. He put the plate, the bhog offering down on the altar in front of Gopinath. And then he did all the right achmans and purification, chanted prayers. And he said, Gopinath, please take your food. And he's ringing a bell and he's watching. Because he doesn't know what's supposed to happen. He expects that, like when he eats, the Gopinath will sit down and eat all the prasad. When he sits down, he eats everything. So he's waiting. And Gopinath is not doing anything. And he's becoming disturbed. He rings the bell and speaks a little louder. Gopinath, please take your prasad. Please take your bhog. Nothing's happening. He became very distressed. And he's only a child. And his heart is very soft. And he's also a little bit afraid that his father may chastise him if he doesn't perform his duty on his first voyage, you know, his first time. So then he starts crying, oh Gopinath, please, please come and take your bhog. Otherwise my father will beat me. So Bhaktivatsal, Krishna's nature is Bhaktivatsal. He's very affectionate and loving to his devotees. He never wants to see his devotees suffer. So thinking that, oh, this boy, this young boy, Raghunandan, he may get beaten by his father. Surely I don't want that to happen. I must eat so to prevent that and fulfill his desire to serve me. Such a pure desire he has. So innocent, so eager to serve me. So Gopinath came down. He ate everything. And then the boy was very happy. Oh, Gopinath, very good. Then he took the plate out to his mother and said, Mother, here. He's very happy and smiling and he's feeling successful in his duty. Then his mother saw the plate. Ha! Raghunandan, you nonsense! What kind of training is this? You went in the altar and you ate the whole bhog offering? What is that? That's why we don't send bhaktas in to do the offering. We send a new bhakta in to do the offering, he may sit down and eat the whole thing. So he has to wait a couple years and learn how to become a little detached. So Raghunandan and his mother saying, what is this? You ate the whole offering? Oh, you nonsense. Your father is going to kill you. So he was bewildered. I pleased my father. I displeased my mother. It's the nature of the material world. You make one person happy, the other person's unhappy. So then he says, go to your room. Don't come out till your father returns. Father came in the evening and he said, Devi, calling his wife, and Devi, please give some Mahaprasad. Oh, Prabhu, please forgive me. I'm very sorry, but there is no Mahaprasad because your Brahmin's son, he has eaten everything. No, really? No. Raghunandan, so sweet, so nice. The father is always dear to the son. So then she says, yes, you go ask him yourself. He's in the room. I locked him inside, punishing him. So Mukunda Das goes in to see his son Raghunandan. And then, Raghunandan, mother's saying that you ate all the bhog offering. It's not true. You didn't do that, did you? Please tell me the truth. So he told him. His father, understanding, tolerant, okay, fine. I want you to make another offering. So he went out to the kitchen and said, Mother, please make some more offering for Thakur, Gopinath. So she made some, she was a little upset because she made big offerings. So she said, all right, I'll make some sweet. So she made some ladu. Only ladu. So then Raghunandan took that ladu in to offer to Gopinath. And Mukunda Das, his father, he hid himself behind one of the curtains. We have these curtains on the side of the altar. So he hid himself there, and he's watching very intently and very carefully. His son came in, ding, 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 ding. Oh, Gopinath, please eat. He's not eating. Nothing's happening. So he starts crying. So, Gopinath, please take something. I know you ate a whole lunch. You must be full from your Rajbhog, but please, can't you take something? So then, while he was praying like that, with all sincerity and pure heart, then Gopinath came down, he picked up the ladu, he bit half the ladu, he ate it, put it down and went back. Poor Darshan. Mukunda Das was astonished. What is it? What am I seeing? I'm seeing pure bhakti coming from my son. I'm actually the attainment that I'm striving for, the goal that I'm struggling for. I'm seeing before my eyes that the Lord is eating out of the hand of my son. Who is the father? Who is the son? So therefore later, when Mukunda Das was asked by Lord Chaitanya, who is the father? Who is the son? He said, my son Raghunandan is my father because he is giving me Krishna. In the same way, we have a duty to become like Raghunandan, to become pure devotees of the Lord. Then we can become the fathers of our fathers. We can give them Krishna consciousness. This is our duty. And of course, Raghunandan has so many other pastimes, but it's also Vamshidas Babaji's disappearance day. Vamshidas Babaji Maharaj, he was born in 1859. You can see there's a picture of him. He's not exactly the standard shaved up brahmachari. He's Avadhut. And said that his behavior very much resembled Lord Nityananda. But he had deities. He had his own deities of Gopal and Gornitai and Radha and Krishna. And he was always worshipping them in a very wonderful way and speaking with them and very intimate exchanges that are very nicely described in this book. So I want to read some of the passages here and in the remaining 10 minutes or so, because they're very nicely told. Of course, he would wander all over India and carry his deities with him. One deity of Gopal was small, he could carry in his hand, and his other deities were larger. So he had two servants who would assist him and go with him. One was named Bihari, and the other was Damodar. Although he never had any disciples, he never gave formal initiation, he had a small group of followers that would go with him wherever he went. And he traveled all over India. He went all over India, all over Navadvip. He came to Vrindavan. And finally, he settled in Navadvip Dham. And he would travel very often by boat up the Ganges, follow the course of the Ganges or the Yamuna, and stop at all the holy places there like Kashi, Varanasi. Then he would bring his deities out and set up a tent. It was a real traveling party, very temporary. He would set up one tent and put the deities inside. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he and his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they had much association with Vamshidas. In fact, he sent one of his disciples, brahmacharis, to travel with Vamshidas. Wherever he went, he wanted him to go with him and collect his remnants. If there was any remnants, this brahmachari's duty was to collect those remnants and send them back to the Gaudiya Math, so that Bhaktisiddhanta himself could honor those remnants and give some to his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and all the other devotees. Such a Mahapurush, this Vamshidas Babaji. So he had these different devotees traveling with him. One person was appointed just to collect some remnants and send back to the Gaudiya Math for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So we'll read something about his physical description here, what he looked like, characteristics. His character is unique. His behavior was so unusual that less spiritually enlightened persons might think that he was crazy. Although he was in this material world, he had practically no connection with it. He was about 2 meters tall and very strongly built. His hair and beard were uncut, matted, and disheveled. He never took a bath, and his eyes looked wild. He wore a loincloth only and nothing more. Although Vamshidas looked dirty and bedraggled, or unkempt, he was healthy and strong because of his direct, ecstatic contact with Sri Krishna. Sometimes he would fast for many days, not even take water. Sometimes, when he traveled, even though he's more than 80 years old, all of his young associates could not keep up with him. Sounds familiar? Harisari was a young associate of Srila Prabhupada, walking on the beaches and places of the world. No one could keep up with Prabhupada. Harisari was 20 and Prabhupada was 80. But he was 4 times older and 4 times faster. For all of us, no one could keep. Even when he was unwell, he would still eat foods that were liable to increase his sickness. This also sounds... In other words, he was sick. Sometimes his body would fall ill. And he would say, oh, please don't eat any fried things. He would eat them anyway. This sounds very much like our Srila Prabhupada. He was a restricted diet. He said, I'd rather die than not take this Krishna prasad, some eggplant pukki or some fried eggplant or something. Let me die rather than giving up this prasad, because he had a restricted diet. So it's the nature of these Mahabhagavats. You can't measure them by any standard of this material world. Everything they do is completely transcendental. There's a nice pastime with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Vamsidas Babaji. Once, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati went to visit him, Vamsidas called out, "Oh, a Manjari has come. So won't Radha come along also?" "Yes, surely she will come. She will come." So he would speak just anything that came to his mind, which is typical of a crazy person. Like, you may be speaking to a crazy person, someone might say, "Well, where's the world? It's in the box." "No, it's in the bottle of milk." "No, who are you?" They'll say incoherent statements, unintelligible statements, a crazy person. So he would speak like that. You would be standing in front of him and he would say, "Oh," something like this. So in the same way, he was explaining, he would see Bhaktisiddhanta and he saw him as a Manjari. So when visiting Vamsidas, Bhaktisiddhanta warned his disciples to sit very quietly and don't make any offense, because they may not understand his wild and eccentric behavior. Although he was eccentric and wild, he never deviated from the Gaudiya Siddhanta. And the other point is that although he would say very unusual things, he was always thinking of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the pastimes of Gaura Nithai. In fact, he would see everything in relationship to the spiritual world, wherever he traveled and whatever he saw. When he was traveling on a train across a bridge, it reminded him of Vrindavan. And the turning of the wheels of the train inspired him to call out, "Rasamandala, Rasamandala, what machine have you made, Rai Kishori?" Even things that were unrelated to the holy Dham reminded him of Vrindavan. So the turning of the wheels, the round wheels of the train, reminded him of the Rasamandala, the circular platform which Rai Kishori is Radharani, and Krishna, they performed the Rasa dance. So this is the incredible mind that he had. He would often have conversations with his deities. And one time when he never locked his tent or made any arrangements to secure his belongings. So he was out wandering doing madhukari. And he came back with some flour and some vegetables that he had collected to cook. And someone had come into his tent. Some thief had entered his tent and stolen the deity pots. Or so there was two different pots. So he said, "Oh, so Nithai." He's telling you, "Oh, Nithai, you let the thief take your pot? Some thief is taking your pot? All right, then you won't eat today. Unless you bring that pot back, I'm not going to cook for you." He would speak like this to his lord. It's very personal. And when he came to Puri, he brought his deities to Puri, and he has Gopal Didi with him. He said, "Gopal, don't you want to take a bath? The Samudra is Pavitra Samudra, very purifying. Let's go take a bath." So he took his Gopal in the ocean and he bathed his deity of Gopal. When he came to Braj, he stayed here, came here once, maybe twice. He was wandering everywhere. But he would always carry his deities with him wherever he went, and he'd worship him in this very personal, wonderful way. From these two Vaishnavas, we can understand how personal, such a personal relationship one can have with the Supreme Personality of God, who's appearing in the form of our deity, our worshipful deity. So if we want to develop pure love and express our pure love for Krishna at some ultimate point, when we become pure, then we have to practice expressing our pure love and devotion to the form of Krishna, which is standing before us. Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nithai, and Radha Shama Sundar. Sri Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj Ki, Sri Raghunandan Thakur Ki.